Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recording.
Hello, Chicago!
Will you go out there and have some fun and have a few laughs, please?
No, have fun first and then have a few laughs.
These are exactly the kind of go-getters I want working on my EM50 project in Italy.
Oh my gosh, that gave me a thrill.
Thank God it's
Friday.
Here's Pete and Andrea on 720 WGN.
Yes, Friday night. I mean, it's the calm before the storm, literally the calm before the storm.
It is.
I mean, it's nice out right now.
All right, just hold on.
Yeah, it's very, very nice out right now.
It's coming. It's coming. It's not the polar vortex, though.
Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
We have a fun show planned. Dr. Oz will be on before 9 o'clock. We'll check in with Demetrius Ivory in just a second. Like we talked about during the news, the Jason Van Dyke sentencing came down today, almost 7 years, 81 months.
81 months is what he received, yes.
We'll talk to attorney Michael Oppenheimer at the top of the hour. He was on CLTV all day today. He did a wonderful job.
Yeah, he did.
And he'll break it down a little bit, and we'll talk about that.
Explaining it, yep.
But first of all, let's bring in Demetrius Ivory from WGN-TV. I drove in on the Kennedy. There was about four cars, no snow. Will we see snow tonight?
Oh, four cars. I need to get out there. I need to get out there immediately.
Head home now, D.
Yes. Well, okay. So there is going to be snow. Right now we have the snow mainly north of Cook County, actually, in the portions of Lake County and through the Kenosha area right now. They're getting it. It's laying down pretty good there. But that line's pushing north. The rest of the snow, if you will, is coming in from the west, and it's going to be here, you know, next couple hours. I'd say by 10 o'clock we're definitely going to have some snow in downtown Chicago.
Okay.
And it's going to move to the east after that.
How much are we going to get tonight? I hear the bulk is coming after midnight, is that right?
That's correct. I think midnight the snow's going to be coming down, you know, pretty heavy at that time. Maybe we might see some significant banding there. Yeah, well, you got plans at midnight, huh?
No,
yeah.
I have to be at the TV station at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, Darlis has to work in the morning.
Oh.
Ouch.
But we're all friends. You guys are going to be there to support me, right?
I will. Set the alarm early.
Uh-huh.
Ouch.
I don't think so.
So at midnight, you're right. That's when I think we're really going to start to see some intense banding. The heaviest of the snow will come tonight and into early tomorrow morning, right at the beginning of her shift. Thank you. And we're looking at between 4 and 8 inches across the region. The 4, better chance for that south of I-80. The 8, potentially, as you head through north through Chicagoland, that's where we're going to have a better chance of getting those higher totals. And also, you know, it's not going to be over tomorrow. There's going to be a lake effect push into Sunday.
Oh,
and
boy.
That could push us over the snow edge, if you will.
And the temperature drops, right?
Yeah, after that, we have an intense drop in temperatures. Now, the good news is it'll be short-lived. Actually, during the day, temperatures will be falling through the 20s. We'll probably be low 20s by late afternoon. Winds pick up in a big way. You know, it's going to snow tonight, but tomorrow night is the one that it's really just going to be brutal outside. Wind chills well below zero, drifting and blowing snow. And temperatures are going to be down there in most areas, just kind of barely holding on to double digits.
It's miserable.
Yes.
And I work tomorrow night.
So you worked. Well, at least you're inside, huh?
Yeah, at least you are inside. That's
right.
True. Hey, Demetrius, is this kind of the thick, heavy snow, the wet snow, or is this kind of the easy shovel type of snow, are you guys thinking?
Right now, it's looking like it's going to be right in the middle.
Okay.
You know, and we've been watching this with our models, you know, some of the ratios that they're putting out. You know, the lake effect snow is probably going to be, you know, the higher ratio stuff, but right now it's looking like it's going to be kind of right in the middle. I think in some areas it is going to be the heavier snow, but I do think that, you know, as you get some of those cooler numbers there, it's going to be some of the lighter snow. The problem is, if you got 8 inches of it, it's heavy regardless.
Yeah,
right.
Get the snowblower
so
ready.
When we wake up in the morning, how much snow are we going to have to shovel?
Well, it depends on what time you get up in the morning. If you get up
7 a.m.
Okay, with me.
Right, 7 a.m., depending upon where you are, I'd say, you know, if you're in, you know, Cook County, you'd probably be looking at, you know, I'd say over under 5 inches maybe or so, you know.
Right.
And then if you go a little bit north, you could potentially be looking at a little bit more north and west. But south, I think the lion's share of the snow is going to, you know, kind of be continuing but almost done, mainly south. And they'll probably be looking at, you know, 3 or 4 inches of snow.
Ooh, hey, D, I heard earlier in the week the words polar vortex mentioned with this. Re-explain kind of what that means, and is this that?
No, absolutely. Okay, first off, it's not
is
that.
Is this that?
Is yes. this that?
Yes.
Like, what?
Can you please point in this room? Can you see the polar vortex?
Yes.
Point to him. So no, that's not what this is. This is just a pool of really cool air. This cold air, actually, it's going to drop down. It's only going to be here for 2 days. Then we warm up. It'll be into next weekend where, you know, kind of a branch of the polar vortex is going to break down into our area, and that's when we're expecting to see extremely cold numbers as you get on into next weekend. Now, that's on some of the longer range models, and quite honestly, they showed this once or twice before and it didn't pan out. So, you know, when you're talking about looking over 7 days into the future, you know, I always say that's when it kind of moves towards chaos.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, there's a good chance that we could see that. But it's a pool of air that circulates or cyclones or around the poles there, and every once in a while it just kind of sends lobes down south. And well, when we got it, 3 years ago? Well, was that 4 years ago? Was that 4 years ago, Bill?
I can't even remember.
It was 14. Yeah.
14.
Yeah, it was 13, 14. Yeah, so you know, I guess that's actually 5 years ago. Don't you hate how that happens?
Yeah.
That was 5 years ago.
Well, when you have kids, life just passes you by.
Yeah, how are the kids?
They're good. You know, I got one that I think she wants to be some type of meteorologist or scientist. She's 2 years old, knows her planets.
Is it Harlow?
That's Harlow.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
And Hadley, I don't know what Hadley wants to do. right now, Hadley wants to watch good shows on TV. But they're good. So, and it's interesting, like when Tom's off, I get to hang with them. Notice I said get to hang with them all morning before the show. Before I drive into work. So it's like, some adult conversation.
Right.
You slow down a little bit.
I've been talking baby caveman all day, and now I can finally have a conversation with people.
I have a 13-year-old, and when it snows, it's a big deal because Charlie McMurray, this is how he earns money.
Oh,
so I wanted to know about shoveling this weekend. So we're going to get 5 inches tomorrow morning. If I live in the city. How about Sunday morning? Because he gets either $5 to $10 per pop.
Wow. Did you do that? You're like a throwback dad. No, nobody's kid does that anymore.
Well,
and for that kind of money, oh my God, my mom lives in the burbs and her neighbor kids get 20 to 30.
Yeah, don't tell them that.
Yeah. Oh, right. 20 to 30?
I'm not kidding you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, our oldest kid does 1 yard and he says, I made enough.
Hot chocolate time.
I'm out of here. I'm like, well, if you do 4 more yards, you can get it.
These kids are snowflakes nowadays. You got to teach them to do things. Like I taught him to mow the lawn in fifth grade. He's shoveling now. I mean, this is how you earn money.
Please write a book.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's going to, and I hope I get a cut of what he's going to get. Well, actually, he's in the city. He's not making a fair wage.
No.
But you know what? I do think, okay, so what we're expecting Sunday, this is the real kind of maverick in the forecast, right? There's potentially going to be this plume of lake effect snow. Basically, that's when on the radar, you see this snow band. It looks like a snake that extends from, you know, wherever on the shore and goes almost usually directly up Lake Michigan, right? And then when that band moves over you, everything is covered. Sometimes the snow can come at an inch an hour. So we do expect that to set up. We don't know exactly where it's going to set up. We're not that good. That's like a, you know, that's a very small scale thing, right?
Okay.
So you know, if it's
so, what you're saying is you're just guessing at this point.
Well, yeah. This far out.
You know,
I mean, look, I wish I could say
we
there's
know
a chance.
It's gonna snow.
Hey, you watch Baby Caveman all day. We gotta give him a little bit of a break.
Hadley sees snow. That's what I do all day.
Got 2 years old. Two
but,
year
but we do know. We do have, I'd say, considerable confidence in the fact that we will actually see this plume of lake effect snow. It's just a question of where exactly it's going to be. Is it going to, you know, is it going to be Lake County? Is it going to be Cook County? Is it going to be stagnant, or is it going to just roll right? What I hope is that it rolls right on down. That way, we're, you know, it happened for everyone, like we said it would. Like I said it would today.
That's right.
I don't think I've ever used the term plume.
Plume. Did I say plume?
Plume.
That's
plume.
That baby cake.
Plume.
Plume.
A
yeah.
plume of snow.
I love
a
that.
Plume of snow.
Yeah.
I like that.
It sounds much
good.
Nicer than polar vortex.
Yeah.
Which
oh,
that,
yeah.
Which this is not.
Right.
Which this is okay. not.
It's
he
not
is,
that.
Polar vortex is not in this courtroom.
So
that's right.
To recap, because you have to prepare for the 9 o'clock news. To recap, yes. It's going to start snowing tonight sometime.
Very soon. Very soon.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I think it's, you know.
I'm looking out the window on the 18th floor, and it looks beautiful out.
Well,
give it an hour.
I can't wait to hear you driving home. You're going to be like,
your phone's going to be blowing up.
I am. I'm
the snow karma's going to get you.
I'm going to call
McMurray's
you.
McMurray's going to be blocked.
You tomorrow know. Morning, if you live in the city, 5 inches. If you live north, probably 8.
Could be up to 8, yeah.
All okay.
Right, there you go.
And then lake effect snow later on Saturday, and the temperature drops on Sunday. It's going to be cold all day Sunday, and then it's going to get warm on ML King Day.
Well, no, it'll be cold there still upper teens, but then Tuesday we'll be in the mid-30s. Although I will say this, you're pretty good at this. Boy, I wish I sat behind you in school.
Right. Me too.
He's got it all. I mean, what, that's photographic almost.
Thank you very much.
He's mapping out his day. He's going to go to spin class. He's going to walk his dog. He's got yoga.
You're absolutely.
Ouch.
Right.
Hey, I'm
no
a new
yoga.
Yogi.
No,
okay.
there's no yoga.
There's no.
What do you call that?
He said that like he didn't do spin.
Like Apple Fitness or something.
You know what? We have Dr. Oz on tonight. That's one of the things that I'm going to talk to him about is flexibility. He posted something this week. I don't want to give it away, but I'm going to ask him about it. He posted one of the greatest stretching exercises ever. It's fantastic. So that's a little teaser for the next segment.
Well, there you go.
Right.
There you go. It's a great exercise. I can tell you this. There are some times where I'm going to pass out. And these little, you know, these little 5'2 people are out here talking to each other, and I'm about to pass out.
And the 2-year-olds, too.
Right, yeah.
Running you ragged.
Yeah.
So.
We'll check you out on the 9 o'clock news, Demetrius Ivory. Great to talk to you, man. Have a good weekend.
I will be there, and we're going to hold your feet to the fire. If it's not snowing by 10 p.m., we're holding you accountable.
That's right.
And tell your wife hello.
I will definitely.
All right,
thanks.
Man. Thank you. 720 WGN. I'm Pete McMurray. Our next guest is one of our favorite people and a great friend of the show. You can see him weekdays on Fox 32. It's my own personal physician. It is Dr. Oz. Great to talk to you again. How are you?
Good. You're overdue for your next appointment, and we have colonoscopy scheduled.
You know what, Dr. Oz? I did my first colonoscopy in December.
It's super easy. I think for a lot of people who've never had propofol, you understand what the risks are because most don't remember anything, myself included.
I was on the stair stepper on Monday. I saw you on the Today Show, and I knew we had to get you on because you and I think alike. What you said Monday morning on the Today Show, I've been saying for years, get rid of the stretchy pants.
Well, the issue with stretchy pants, the athleisure outfits, is that people don't use them for athletics, right? 66% of our viewers do not do yoga in their yoga pants. And compound that with the reality that you're really wearing it to camouflage whether you're gaining weight or eating correctly, which is, by the way, why doctors wear scrubs outside the hospitals. That way you can't remind yourself in a time of stress that you're overeating.
Right.
And so these stress, we actually did a like social experiment. We had a bunch of our viewers wear jeans, and then they had to flip over and wear stretchy pants or vice versa. And the women who, when they were wearing their jeans, ate 300 calories less per day than when they were wearing athleisure outfits, which reminds us the importance of some feedback.
300 calories less a day? That's 2,100 calories a week.
I know. You'd be losing a pound and a half every other week if you did this right, just from wearing the right kinds of pants. But here's the thing, it compounded by one bigger issue, the SOS problem, stretched out syndrome.
Yes, yes.
After you've worn those athleisure outfits enough, and some people just wear them all the time, they actually stretch by about an inch. So they're no longer the size you bought them, although you think they were. So you're okay with being a little more comfortable than usual after a few months. Without that feedback, you keep overeating.
Right. Dr. Oz, you also talked about doubling up on Spanx. A lot of women listening right now wear the Spanx, and you said it's a bad idea.
It's a really bad idea. We did an experiment to try to identify what the issue was. And we had our correspondent put on the usual double pairing, which, again, why did they do it? Because if one piece of shapewear makes you feel good, this is America. More is better. You double it up, and of course, you should be better. So she wore shapewear at work, right? 12 hours after she put it on, we sent her to a pulmonologist. He looked at her lung function. the ability to take a deep breath of air on a machine. And the machine is very precise. He showed us that her lung function had dropped about 20% just from the shapewear. And to give you an idea what that means, that's what happens during pregnancy. Plus, not only are you not taking a deep breath in, because this thing is sort of stilting you up, it weakens your core muscles.
Sure.
So the key here, because I know people aren't giving up their shapewear, is just wear one. Wear the right size. You know it's the right size because it doesn't start curling up at the top or the bottom. And you only want to wear it for part of the day. So wear it for an evening event or for the morning for some interviews. But don't put it on at 6 in the morning and wear it till 9 at night.
My, you mentioned something else on the Today Show on Monday. My wife wears high heels every single day. She had toe cramps this week. Number one, I told her she's probably low on potassium or magnesium. But number two, I showed her the stretch exercises that you did on the Today Show. Can you explain that over the radio?
Of course I can. So the whole issue with stilettos and, you know, high-heeled shoes, anything more than 2 inches, is it causes back pain because it's not just your ankles that hurt you, although they are weakened. That whole cascade of events sends it up to your lower back. And there's actually less blood that's passing through your leg because you're not exercising your calf muscles. You put that all together, it's a recipe for a problem. And so I tell women, if you're going to wear high heels, try to keep it to 2 inches or less. What you got to do, no matter what you're wearing for high heels, is stretch your calves. So you sit in the chair, grab a towel, if you're limber enough, grab your toes, and just stretch your calf. Or if you don't want to do that, you know, just keep your legs straight and lean into a wall so you're essentially doing the opposite of a high heel.
Right.
You're letting your heels be lower than your toes. That stretches out the calf muscles. And remember, during the day when you're wearing high heels, you're suffocating the muscles back there because there's less blood. You're not stretching them at all. You're quite opposite, making them contract, and that's how people run into problems. A lot of women who wear high heels all the time, they no longer can stretch. They can't walk flat anymore.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And real quick, I want to ask you about a few things. You know, it's that time of year. People are on the fad diets. What do you think of the caveman diet where you only eat when it's light out? You fast from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
I like it. And I'll tell you, circadian rhythm, which is our biologic clock, has been ignored for too long. We're now giving people chemotherapy at different times of the day because we know it turns on their immune system differently, which all, again, makes sense because most heart attacks happen at dawn for a reason. It's when your hormones in your body start to shift, normally to wake you up, but in the case of a heart attack, it creates a stressor. And so there's lots of things that the biologic clock drives, including sleep. So why not pay attention to its effect on food? Our intestines actually need the sleep. They're not supposed to work 24 hours a day. The average American eats 17 hours a day. We get up at 6, put a donut in their mouth, and we're going to 11 at night. And so these different programs, the when-to diet, for example, the caveman, as you called it, it says, listen, when you get up in the morning, you don't have to eat the first thing. That's a marketing ploy that you have to have breakfast. It really was. There was no medical data behind that.
Really?
The reality is, when you get hungry, you should have a big meal because that's the time to get all the energy into your body to live your day. So I get up at 6, but I'm not hungry till 8:30 or so. Most people can go for 2 hours. Same for coffee, by the way. Your first coffee should not be when you first wake up. I mean, think about it. You're already awake, right? Between the alarm clock and the cold water in your face and the shave and the shower, whatever you're doing,
right,
you're already awake. So move on with your day. Have your first coffee a couple hours later when you really need it. And then later in the day, you should have a good-sized lunch. You should have a happy hour dinner where you eat by 5, let's say, or 6. And then as the sun sets, you should be finishing up the kitchen for the day, and your intestines will thank you. You'll sleep better at night. You actually end up losing weight because your body can metabolize food better earlier in the day.
Wow.
And plus, you just have tea or something else later in the night. It'll deal with your cravings, and you'll find yourself a much happier person.
Good to know. What about caffeine? 5-hour energy, those little energy shots. What do you think of those?
Not a big fan because they're a little bit of a lie. Not that they don't work. They do. But they're not giving you energy. They're withdrawing energy from your energy bank that you already have. So let's say you slept well and you did all the things that you need to do to get energized, and you go through your day and you're feeling a little down. You pop a caffeinated, especially if it's carbonated and caffeinated, it double pops you with some sugar in it. It really just is like a high-octane fuel. You'll feel great for a couple hours, but then you burn brightly but briefly.
You're going to
crash.
Because
your body, your bank account just got a big withdrawal from it. So when the end of the day comes, there's no money left in the account. They're like a credit card. You can use them gently and judiciously in an emergency, but they should not be your mainstay.
That makes sense. And finally, the keto diet. Everybody's on the keto diet, high in fats, low in carbs. What do you think of this?
Well, I just did another big story for the Today Show on an article that got written, and I spoke to the lead author. And what the guy did was he put people on three diets. There was a high-carb, medium, regular diet, and then a low-carb diet. And the people on the low-carb diet had a metabolism that was about 250 calories more per day. That's shocking.
Wow.
What it really means is low-carb diets allow your body to burn more energy. For that reason, you can eat the same amount of food as someone who's on a high-carb diet and still lose weight, whereas they won't. So I have a lot of confidence in it, but I don't want you to have a bad paleo because there's some unhealthy ways of doing paleo. Not all fats are created equal. Not all carbs are equal. So follow the routines that we've been talking about for 10 years on the show. Simple concepts that your mom probably told you. Your whole grains, real carbs with nutrients in them for the carb diet part of your meal, which is, let's say, 10 to 20% of the total calories. And then your fats need to be as many as possible, vegetable fats and the like. You can have some meat. It just shouldn't be eating lard as your main source of calories during the day.
Right. A few years ago, you said this on the show, and it's stuck with me ever since, probably 5 years ago. If you can hear my voice, you're low in vitamin D. D is in dog.
I have not changed my opinion. Yep. I tell you, there's a big battle over vitamin D. A lot of people think that it's not as important as it's been touted. But I look at populations of people that lived the way our species lived 1,000 years ago. And you go to Papua New Guinea and look at these folks, and they're in the sun a lot, and they don't wear sunscreen. And for that reason, they run vitamin D levels in their blood. They're in the 50s. In our country, if you're in Chicago in particular, the sun shines, but it's too cold to go expose your body to it if you're sober. So you're running vitamin D levels that are often in the 20s or even lower. And if you're overweight, that soaks up the extra vitamin D, the fat cells will, so you're even lower in your bloodstream. So it makes no sense to me not to take 1,000 units of vitamin D every day if you're not in the sun.
You're the best. Dr. Oz, thank you so much. Now you can go out to dinner. Have a great weekend. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
I love talking to you as always. Take care, my friend.
All right. See you, buddy.
Bye.
Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis in the Allstate Skyline Studio. The Jason Van Dyke sentencing came through today, 81 months. I watched CLTV probably all afternoon, and this guy did a wonderful job. It's attorney Michael Oppenheimer. Great job today, by the way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Long day.
I mean, I didn't realize, I talked to Andrea about this at the top of the show, I didn't realize that it would go all day long and we'd find out right before 6 o'clock. Did you?
No, it went on and on and on. I thought it might be early afternoon, but I was wrong about quite a few things today.
Michael, though, you were great at explaining, and if you could just re-explain, that he was sentenced on the second-degree murder conviction as opposed to the aggravated battery charges with each shot for which he was convicted. So can you re-explain why that was?
Sure, if I can.
Okay.
The judge followed what the defense wanted because, as we, there's a million lawyers out there trying to figure out the possible sentencing, and nobody ever agreed because it was complicated and it was kind of unusual. So the judge decided that the second degree murder was the more serious charge, which it sounds like it would be because it mentions murder, as opposed to the aggravated battery. The aggravated battery, each count is a Class X felony, which is close to the most serious, which carries 6 to 30 years, and you're not eligible for probation. The the second-degree murder is what's called a Class 1 felony, and it carries 4 to 20 years, but you're eligible for probation. The judge, however, said it makes more sense and followed a couple of cases to go with the second-degree murder, which gave him the option of giving a lesser sentence, which, in fact, is what he did.
Right.
I thought the judge did a fantastic job explaining that before the sentencing came through. Did you agree with that?
He did.
Okay.
I would agree with that. He explained it pretty well.
The witnesses that they had today, for both sides, heartbreaking. I mean, every single testimony, it's just, it tugged at your heartstrings. But they had a man who was blind that was very awkward.
Yes.
Do you want to explain that to our listeners that missed it today? Because as soon as he sat down and the judge, he wasn't blind, he was deaf. There was a deaf man. The judge said, can you get closer to the microphone? And he wasn't going to be speaking because there was a woman in front of him signing, and everyone broke out in laughter. I'm like, this is just awkward. And then
I think it was weird because the judge said, I thought the judge said speak up or something, and then they knew he, I don't know. It was very awkward. And then to have him not be able to identify Van Dyke was weird. And I think what may have happened, I don't know, there's two possibilities. One is, you know, he didn't bring his glasses and he said he couldn't see him. But if that's the case, that's poor preparation by the prosecutors, because you, before you put a guy up there, you better make sure that you know that he's going to identify the guy.
Right.
And number two, have a secondary plan, like show him a picture. Say, hey, is this the guy you identified before? Or say, did you and I have a conversation last week where you identified this man as the person that did it? That happens when, A, the witness, you know, just is having problems, or B, he flips on you, and whatever reason, he may be scared of the police department or something like that and refuse to identify Van Dyke. And in any event, it was a huge embarrassment for the prosecution.
This was a man that was pulled over years ago by Jason Van Dyke and his partner. And the deaf man, they asked him to get up, and he walked around the courtroom. I think he flipped.
Right.
What are your thoughts? It was very weird. I think he flipped and freaked out.
It doesn't happen very often, and a lot of times it'll happen when you have gangbangers that will recant on something.
Right.
And as a prosecutor, what you do is just say, look, we had a conversation last week, and you told me it was this guy. Now you're flipping.
Right.
And then the jury or the judge knows he's flipping. I think he flipped out. I think he got scared and nervous and said, I'm not doing this. I agree with you.
Michael, during a hearing like this, a sentencing hearing, when the witnesses come up both for and against the person being sentenced, can they say anything they want? And the reason I'm asking is it was odd to me when Reverend Hunter came forward. I know he's the great uncle of Laquan McDonald, but he read a statement as though he were or was Laquan McDonald saying, I can't speak, I'm not here. So my question, again, going back, can you say anything you want during these proceedings as a witness?
I thought it was very effective to do it that way. I've never seen that before, yeah. And I've seen a lot of these. So in answer to your question, yes, there is no question that there are very few rules except, you know, you can't incite violence or do something crazy. And he would have submitted that statement to the prosecution before, so they would have known what it is.
Gotcha.
So they knew about it. They approved of it. They probably worked with him on it. So, yes, you can. You kind of can say anything you want within reason.
We're talking with attorney Michael Oppenheimer, who was all over CLTV today, breaking everything down during the Jason Van Dyke sentencing hearing. So he gets 81 months, which is approximately 6 3/4 years. So he has served
Correct.
90 days. It looks like 3 years he's going to be out. Is that true?
So I have my own opinions. He's going to be out in less than 3 years. This is a 50% sentence, and we double-checked today. I knew it was, but under the second-degree murder, you serve 50%. So cut that in half and then drop the 90 days that you said he's already been in. And so it will be probably under 3 years, and then he is eligible. There may be programs such as work release that after 2 years he may become eligible for. So he could be out and as soon as a little bit over 2 years.
Will he be in solitary, do you think?
That's up to the prison system.
Okay.
My guess is that they'll put him in solitary because I'm sure he will not be safe. This was quite, I don't know, it was a disturbing sentence. But my guess is that he will be in solitary.
Well, when police officers go to prison, they put them in solitary for their own personal mm-hmm. safety.
Correct. Correct, and I think he will need it. This is a controversial case. This is a controversial sentence. There is no question about it. So, yes, my guess is that he will be in solitary.
What I found interesting as well, Michael, and maybe you can comment on this from the legal perspective, is that while activists and there were all the mayoral candidates, many of whom were not happy, they wanted a stiffer sentence, you had Joe McMahon, who was the special prosecutor, afterwards saying, yes, this was just based mm-hmm. on sentencing guidelines and the judge following precedents and the law for sentencing under second degree murder, this they were okay with the sentence.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
I have my own guesses on that. I mean, here you have a special prosecutor is a prosecutor from another county. It is my understanding that a lot of prosecutors didn't want this because I think depending on where you live, your constituents don't want you prosecuting a police officer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily good politics. And here you have, your job as prosecutor is supposed to advocate for the person that cannot help himself, which is Laquan McDonald. And I think he kind of went down the middle of the road instead of really, you know, they got a great verdict. They got a verdict pretty close to exactly what they wanted. Many legal experts, including me, think that the minimum really was 60 years. I'm not saying, you know, that that's not too much. But to go in there and ask for 18 to 20, which is not what the family wanted, mm-hmm. which is not what a lot of the public wanted, and then after he gets a sentence where he only serves two-ish years and say that it was just... I find that disingenuous.
It was interesting because that is so true. The prosecutor said it was a win for them. And then Danny Herbert gets on and does the press conference afterwards. And he said, we're very happy with the verdict.
Right.
Very happy. 3 years.
Right. So if I was Dan Herbert, I would have said the same thing. Right. They should be jumping for joy. That is better than anyone could have imagined. No one expected him to get probation. I think it is strange, and I think it's, in my own personal opinion, I think it's wrong to say that it was a just sentence. It wasn't a just sentence, given the facts of this case and the seriousness of this case. They found him guilty of murder, basically, with special circumstances. Mm-hmm. I think the jury sent a message. I don't think the jury would be happy with that sentence, but I agree with Dan Herbert. He should be very, very happy with that sentence.
Were you shocked that this went to trial in the first place? I thought they would settle, personally. I thought there's no way this is going to go to trial because they have the video. It's a done deal.
I was a little shocked. I thought years ago when this started coming around that there'd be not a backroom deal, but there'd be a quiet deal to kind of make this go away, save the city all of this, save the controversy, and make it a deal, you know, like around 10, 15, 20 years where everybody is not totally happy, but nobody is going crazy about it. And that certainly didn't happen.
I'll never forget the day the verdict came down.
Oh, yeah.
I was driving to work. I've never, ever felt unsafe in this city. I was driving to work. There was an eerie feeling. I was on the air when the verdict came through. And I just remember the anger and just the tension in the air that day. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. You're right, for the city. The city needs to heal. I don't know how it happens. Maybe it happens with the new mayor, but we need to go in a different direction here.
I think, and this is, again, my own personal bent and kind of on what I do for a living, which is criminal defense and civil rights. I think I agree with you. The city needs to heal. I think there's been traditionally a problem in the police department. Most police officers are great police officers. We need them.
Right.
But they have a problem of not fixing their problems and not taking care of the bad apples, and there's bad apples everywhere. And, of course, it's training involved. You heard a lot about that today where the former police officer said, this is what we trained him to do. And I think they thought this was a good shoot because this is what they trained him to do. Blame the police department, too. So I don't think – I think it took a step in healing it when there was that verdict because a verdict like that hasn't happened in 50 years from what I understand. But today, with a sentence like this, I think you took a little step back in assigning the importance of the verdict.
Right.
You know, and I'm very surprised, again, to go back to this, that once the verdict was announced, everybody said, you know, let's listen, justice, let's listen to the jury's verdict, because the jury, they sat there day in, day out listening, so respect the jury's verdict, whatever it was. And people there were peaceful protests or, you know, there were rallies and whatnot. That's fine. But now with, I think, many of the mayoral candidates, including Willie Wilson, Lori Lightfoot, I'm just surprised about now they're saying, well, this miscarriage of justice with regard to the sentencing. I'm surprised since they have the potential to be the next mayor, that they're weighing so heavily against the judge when the judge really, as you said earlier, Pete, you alluded to, and Michael, you did too, the judge was following the sentencing guidelines. Right. He was following precedents. The judge didn't, you know, granted it's on the lower end, but he's following these guidelines. So now why are they why are they not happy with the judge?
That's a great question. It's a political move.
It's a political move. And, you know, the judge himself may have made a political move. His own feelings may have joined in on this, but he is the judge. The jury spoke, and that's the system we have. And I'm the first one to say I don't agree with this sentence in any way, shape, or form. However, he's the judge. I mean, I'm not running for anything.
Right.
I don't think I ever will. But he's the judge. And so there is that process. You can certainly disagree with how things went down, but I think that's a political move. Everybody's arguing towards their future constituents. Right.
Does Jason Van Dyke get his pension, his police pension? That's a good question.
A good question.
No one has mentioned that. And I've looked online. I don't see anything. He's 40 years old. How long has he been a cop?
I think, what did they say, 10, 15 years? Somebody said that, I think.
So he's out in 3 years. He's a convicted felon, okay? Does he get his pension?
I would think not if you're a convicted felon.
I don't know how that works. I don't know.
I would think not, but I don't know. I would think not, and then there may be some sort of appeal process for him to try and get his pension. Right. I would think not.
Or a portion of it. And can he get a job in any police agency again?
I don't think so.
No,
not at all.
No, nope.
Michael, you were great today on CLTV. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks,
thank you very much.
Take care.
That's awesome. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Attorney Michael Oppenheimer. He was, I mean, they took a break and they would throw to Michael and he had all the right answers.
And he had great explanations too, breaking it down so we can understand.
He did. So how do we move forward from here? It's going to snow this weekend, so we're not really going to see any protests. Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. There was supposed to be the big women's, not the women's march, well, we saw it the last 2 years, but the rally in Federal Plaza tomorrow,
right,
organized by some of the younger women in the mm-hmm. community. I don't know if that's going to happen now because of the snow.
Did the mayoral candidates release statements today?
They did, yeah. We can go through a couple of those.
Okay. Let me take a quick break, okay, and we'll do that next. It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis. We're here until 10 o'clock, then Patty takes over. Everybody's hunkering down for Snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon.
Yes,
Snowmageddon. But it's not the polar vortex like Demetrius said earlier.
If you're stocking up on food, and I did go to the Jewel today. I got the essentials. I got the milk, the bread, the eggs. Got some stuff to make chili. You want to have chili in this weather?
I love chili.
Yeah. I'm telling you. But if you're headed to Costco tomorrow, Costco is selling a 27-pound mac and cheese bucket.
Wait. Costco is? I love Costco.
27-pound mac and cheese bucket.
You are one of the people who got me into Costco, by the way. Because remember, you used to come in with your, for Thanksgiving, you would buy pies and water.
The greatest pie, pumpkin pie on the planet. But you have to do a Costco right. You never go in the middle. You only go on the side aisles. Grab your stuff and you take off.
Yeah, but all the samples are in the middle.
No, you don't want to hit
the samples.
It's
such a nice time talking to the sample ladies.
No, but it's like people have never seen food before.
I know, they're vultures.
They're waiting for the samples. They're standing there for 10, 15 minutes.
They're vultures.
I just don't get it.
I am not one of those. Okay, I am.
27-pound mac and cheese bucket. The shelf life on this 27-pound mac and cheese bucket, how long do you think?
A week?
Michael? No, it's not a week.
I'm weird about food. I have to eat it in a week.
Ooh, how could you eat a 27-pound bucket?
What have you guys over?
I'm going to say maybe a year.
Each bucket comes with 180 servings of the cheesy goodness.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't know.
All packaged in separate pouches.
How much?
20 years it lasts.
No.
Mac and cheese bucket from Costco, 27 pounds, 20 years.
Can you imagine the additives and the preservatives in that to make it last 20 years?
The bucket is $89.99.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
50 cents per serving, they say.
$89.99.
If that's not enough, they have a 7-pound tub of Nutella at Costco.
I love Nutella.
$21.99.
Oh, yes. I love that.
All right. What are the essentials you're buying this weekend?
Nothing. Well, I'm stuck. I mean,
you're
I'm good.
Working.
No, I'm
you're
working.
You're
working
TV. You're
I'm
not
working.
Buying anything.
I'm not.
And Michael,
water.
You're single. You're not doing anything. He's not doing anything.
Michael's going to walk to the nearest pizza place or burger place.
Yeah, he'll order food. Somewhere.
What about you?
What are your
essentials?
I got myself. I got them.
What'd you get?
Milk, bread, eggs. I'm going to make chili.
Nice.
Got some dips and beer. Done.
And that's it?
Yeah. Sunday is football Sunday. So you got a game at 2. You got a game at 5:30.
Right.
AFC and NFC championship.
I know, and I even know who's
wonderful.
Playing. The Chiefs and the Rams.
Chiefs and...
I'm going with the Rams.
Chiefs and...
And the Patriots
Chiefs and
the,
Patriots
oh, yeah.
in Kansas City.
Right.
And then the Saints and the Rams in New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't like the Saints. I'm sorry. I think I'm the only person who doesn't.
What?
I know.
Drew Brees?
Oh, I can't stand
with the birthmark on his face and the kids
start.
And the Chase commercial?
Don't even start me on why I can't stand Drew Brees. And I think I'm the only person on the planet who doesn't like him.
He is the nicest guy on the planet. I follow him on Instagram. I love him. I want to be his friend.
I don't even like him. I don't even like his name.
How do you... What?
Do you know why? I have a very good reason, though. Because when I went to Illinois, he was the quarterback at Purdue. And he crushed Illinois every time.
He was great at Purdue.
Every time. And you know what he said his favorite team to play is? Illinois.
Yeah. Because you guys stink. That's why.
It was a building year.
He graduated from Purdue. He got drafted to the Chargers. He stunk in San Diego.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
He stinks now.
No,
I know he's awesome.
He's 39. He's going to be the MVP.
He is 39? Okay, yeah. Someone was asking the other day, and I thought he was close to 40.
Okay, here's something to think about. If you were cremated, what would you do with your remains? Where would they go?
Oh, see, cremation scares me. I have a weird theory on that, too.
Because Catholics are afraid.
Oh, yeah. The Greeks don't cremate either. What if you... Okay, here's my fear. What if you're not dead?
And they're, they're going to bring you back?
Yeah, you're about to go into the oven and you wake up and you're burning.
Excuse me, open the door, please.
Yes, it's my fear.
They drain all the fluids out of your body, right?
It still freaks me out. What about you? Do you want to be cremated?
I don't know. I haven't really thought that far ahead. But your ashes, where would you want your ashes? I would think maybe somewhere in Chicago along the lakefront.
Yeah, that's it.
Or my wife's family's lake house in Wisconsin that we go to during the summertime has great memories there.
It has to be your happy place. I would say my backyard because I love my backyard. But what if I move? So I'll say the lakefront. I'll say where I bike along the lake.
What if I move? You're dead.
Well, no. What if my family moves and then, that my ashes are still there?
You stay there and haunt the place for the rest of your days.
I could haunt.
Sounds kind of fun.
We have one millennial on the show. Michael,
yes.
Let me read all this right. And then you can answer. 1 in 4 millennials want their ashes compressed into a vinyl record.
Oh, that's cool. That'd be Michael. He's a big music guy.
The study also found that those under the age of 25 said they'd prefer to be cremated and would like their ashes made into a diamond. So some type of jewelry.
Oh, that's kind of neat because then someone can wear it then.
So
that's
if you're a millennial, a diamond or an album?
Okay, me, myself, I think that both are equally cool, but that'd be the scariest record to ever play. Why would you want to play that? Like, what song?
Why would you want an album?
Would want to be
Freebird?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good one.
It's the long song.
Maybe the Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Have you ever had any type of jewelry after someone died?
No. Oh, you mean like will to you?
Like passed along the line?
No, I mean when my dad died, they had like his casket had a cross or something on it, and they made us these crosses out of his casket or something. I'm like, that seems so weird to me.
Oh, that does.
I think I'm good. I got a tie. I got one of his rosaries. I'm okay.
Right. I got my dad's dog tags, which I have in a little box.
Nice.
So.
So what would you do with your ashes? That is the question.
I always feel like if I made too much work into it, somebody would lose them down the road. And that would be almost a bigger slap to the face.
And that's happened.
I won't doubt it.
What would you do?
I would Wisconsin again at the lake house or somewhere here in Chicago.
All right, yeah. I'd do along the lakefront.
Yeah, I'd put mine in a t-shirt cannon and just blow it over some
people have done that. There have been people who want their ashes in fireworks.
That would be funny.
Like at a 4th of July display.
No, I don't want the ashes over me.
People do that.
It's disgusting. 312-981-7200. What would you do with your ashes? Now, if you get on the air, we have snow shovels to give away from Suncast. You can go to suncast.com. All their shovels are made in the USA. Michael, do we have information on Suncast?
Yes, we do. Suncast combo shovels combine the design of a snow pusher and the design of a snow shovel to accommodate the most snow removal needs. They come with a steel core shaft, a resin blade, and a galvanized steel wear strip.
Nice. To make snow
removal easier. Listeners can actually check out Suncast at www.suncast.com. And yes, all the shovels are made here in the good old US of A.
All right. Here's the question again. What would you do with your ashes? You get on the air, you get a shovel from Suncast. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break and take some calls next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis. We posed the question, what would you do with your ashes? Darlis said she wouldn't do anything because she would be too scared to cremate herself.
Cremated.
Michael said he'd put it in a t-shirt gun. He'd have someone put it in a t-shirt gun and shoot it. Which is very funny. I would have mine spread over Lake Minocqua or North Avenue Beach.
Okay.
Because those are two places that make me very happy.
Yes.
Robert, where would you spread your ashes?
My ashes are going to be spread at the Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado along with my dog, Cody.
Wow, it sounds like you already made that decision.
I actually did. I made all the arrangements.
I love it. Hold on, buddy. We're going to set you up with a shovel from suncast.com, okay?
Nice.
You get a shovel made in the USA.
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Let's go to Larry. Larry, where are you going to drop your ashes? Where are they going to go?
Hey, well, as far as my ashes, you know what? Once I'm gone, I don't care. You can spread them wherever you want. But the reason the reason I called in is when I was a kid, I was 15 years old. I started in the service station, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so my boss had an airplane, a Cessna 182, with a bunch of partners.
All right.
One of their friends passed away. His wishes were to be spread over Lake Michigan out of the airplane. It was one of their partners that passed away. So I remember my boss and his partner went up in the airplane one day. They flew over Lake Michigan. They had the urn, and they opened this little bitty door.
Oh, no.
You know, and when they and then my boss is flying the plane. His partner opens the urn, and he says all the ashes just kind of blew back right into the airplane.
Right into their faces. I knew you were going to say that. It was like a TV show.
That's brutal.
Okay, so it was just, yes, it was crazy. So, okay, so they go back to Milwaukee. They land the airplane.
Yeah.
They go in the shop. They vacuum it. Okay, so the family says, so, Dave, how was it? My boss, Dave, he says, it was the most amazing thing you've ever seen.
Oh,
we opened the door. We spread the ashes. They fluttered over. We did a fly around, and they were just beautiful.
Yeah. So they absolutely lied to them.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
that.
Little did they know he was in the vacuum.
Larry, hold on. We're going to set you up with a shovel from Suncast. Get ready for the big snow. Cap, go ahead real quick.
Yeah, I would like to spread my ashes in a whack of key because I used to spend a lot of time with my dad there who's deceased now.
Okay, I like that. Hold on, buddy.
Yeah,
all right.
Very nice.
Remember, this started 1 in 4 millennials want their ashes compressed into a vinyl record.
God.
That's a little weird.
So weird.
Odd. Lori, where do you want your remains? Where are they going to be spread? Or made into something?
I am a single mother of 3 children. I've always told them they can split me up in 3 and do something with me that reminded them of me.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
Like?
Well, my parents have a brick over at Wrigley Field, and if they wanted to sprinkle a little me over at Wrigley Field on top of their brick, it would be fine.
Okay.
That's kind of nice.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. By the way, have you ever seen anyone spread ashes at Wrigley?
No, but I hear that
people do it.
People
all
have done it.
The
yeah,
time.
I've heard it done.
They will walk over to the edge and they'll drop some ashes on Wrigley. It happens all
yep.
the time. I haven't seen anything outside, but I've seen one guy do it.
Outside.
Inside Wrigley Field.
Ooh, wow.
He walked over and he had a handful of something and he dropped it on the field.
Yeah.
But what are you going to say?
I know.
If you're security. Hey, what are you doing over there?
Bring it back. Pick yeah. it up.
Peter, you're on WGN. What would you do with your remains?
Well, my buddies and me, we used to fly up to Canada all the time, and I would ask them to spread my ashes over a lake. JCR camp
okay.
would be my choice.
Remember, you got to be careful because we had that last caller. It blew back in the plane. You got to be careful
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
Peter, hold on. Thank you for calling. Remember, everybody that called in tonight gets a shovel courtesy of Suncast.com. Thank you, Ed Cange over at Suncast. By the way, they're all made in Batavia, which
oh,
is very
nice.
Nice.
Very nice. Made in the USA.
Made
and
in the
Illinois.
USA. All right, that does it for us. Patty's coming up next. I want to remind everybody I'll be back on tomorrow night. We got the AFC and NFC Championship game tomorrow night at, I'm on from 7 to 9 at 8:30. Merrill Hodge will join us. Merrill is a former NFL player, NFL analyst, and he will come on. He'll break down the games for Sunday.